Our Father, we do pray as we come to your word again, that you would show us something of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Saviour, your Son whom you sent into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. Father, we pray that we may, in considering your word together this evening, be blessed by your Spirit to take us into the deep things of God, and there to behold the glory and wonder of your love for us. Father, we do want to be unmoved. We want to know you. We want to understand something more of the greatness of the salvation that you have provided for us through that babe that was born in Bethlehem, who grew in stature before God and man, who lived a holy and righteous life in the face of his enemies, and who offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, who was raised again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he now sits at your right hand in glorious splendour forever and ever, and before whom we will one day be brought. O Lord God, we pray, give us a glimpse of him even now, that we may glory in God our Saviour, and give thanks to you through offering our bodies as living sacrifices, a reasonable worship for all that our Saviour has done for us. These blessings we ask in his precious name. Amen. Would you turn with me in the Gospel of Luke to the first chapter? Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This morning we were considering our Saviour's humility, and that humility is unsurpassed in this world. When you set Jesus of Nazareth over against any man or woman or child in this world, the pride of men is set in bold relief to the humility of Jesus. But we need to consider the humility of Jesus not in comparison to who we are, but in comparison to who he is. For this Saviour who came into the world has a dignity that was unrecognized by most who encountered him. And those who did see it caught just a glimpse of it from time to time. I want you to observe that this Saviour who came into the world is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He is a member of the triune Godhead who has always been, who is self-existent in his person, and who needs nothing to sustain him or to give him glory or honour or to praise and worship him. He is in and of himself all that he needs. And we can gain from him, but he does not gain from us. As we glorify him, as we worship him, as we praise him, he may change in our estimation of him, but he doesn't change in himself. He is unalterably the same through all the ages and through all eternity. This one who came into the world is the Word of God. And the Word of God was with God. And the Word of God was God. And beside him was not anything made that was made. He is the great creator who spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. He caused the waters to separate and the dry land to appear. He caused every living thing to sprout up from the earth that bears seed or fruit. He formed every creature that crawls upon the surface of the world, every animal, every beast of the field, every bird of the air, every living thing that inhabits the seas. And he created man in his own image and his own likeness. This is the one who came into the world. This one is the exact image of God, the express representation of his being. Since Adam first breathed a breath, there has never been a man who has reflected the honour and glory and purity of God than this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who surpassed Adam in the consistency of his image bearing, so that whatever temptation came against him, whatever affliction came upon him, whatever attack of the evil one befell him, he remained steadfast in his purpose to reflect in his own character the character of the Holy God. He has the preeminence among all the beings that have inhabited this world, this man who was born in Bethlehem and grew up through childhood in Nazareth, and who walked the lanes of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem. He is the one who sustains all things by the word of his power. This is none other than the Son of God who took upon himself human form. And as the Son of God in human form, this Jesus of Nazareth had all authority, the authority of God. And he used that authority for the good of those around him. He commanded the unclean spirits to depart from those whose bodies they inhabited, whose wills they turned in the way that they wished, who caused such affliction and pain and sorrow to their hosts and to their families. He had the authority to stand up in a boat in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, as the winds blew, as the waves poured over the bulwarks of the boat and threatened to sink it, such a storm that even seasoned fishermen were afraid for their lives. And he stood calmly in the midst of that boat, and he spoke, and the wind ceased, and the waters immediately became calm. He was a man of authority that surpassed any of the authority that this world has. King Canute could not stop the sea from coming up, but Christ could stop the waters from immersing that boat in the Sea of Galilee. Satan comes and he afflicts and he torments and he tempts, and man seems powerless in his presence. And everyone in this room this evening is able to testify that Satan has got the better of them over and over and over again. But this man could not be assaulted by Satan. Rather, he commanded, and the unclean fled. But he had the authority over men, the authority to command, the authority to give laws, the authority of God himself, such that his authority was equal to God's authority, and every command that he gave would be a command that would bring them under judgment at the end of the age. But though he had come into the world to be a saviour of sinners, His command to love God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength and their neighbour as themselves was a command that would return upon them to judge them at the end of the age if they did not obey. And he was the man who had authority to command the people of God, who acknowledged him as their Lord and as their Saviour, and whom he built together into a church, and gave commands to that church that they should obey. For he is the Son of God, and no one can stand before him and dismiss his authority or his right to rule over them without coming under the judgment of God himself. This Saviour, not only is he the Son of God, as Mary was told by the angel, but he is also the Holy One. He will be called holy. He was one who was righteous. He was one who was perfect. He was one in whom there was no sin, though he was tempted in every point, like we are. Satan tried every subtlety. He tried direct assault. He tried to come at Jesus through the religious leaders of the day. He tried to come at him through liars and schemers. He tried to come at him through his most intimate circle of friends. Even Peter was used by Satan to seek to dissuade the Saviour from pursuing his course. But no attack of the evil one had any effect upon him, for he was holy. And yet this Holy One, who was perfect in the face of temptation, was made to be sin for us. The righteous came into this world to take the place of the unrighteous. And as he hung upon the cross outside the city of Jerusalem, he did so not because there was any guilt in him, but he did so because there was guilt in mankind. And he came into the world to save mankind. And he did so at the price of his own life, as he laid it down there upon the cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This Saviour is the Holy One. And as the Holy One who has withstood Satan and who has emerged the conqueror, he is the one to be worshipped. So that at his ascension into heaven, the angels around the throne of God, the living creatures who serve Almighty Creator, bow before the Lamb who was slain, and they give him praise and glory and honour and power and riches and blessing. They give to this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the worship that it belongs to God. The worship that has been directed to God from the creation of the world since the first angel was brought into being and lifted his voice in holy honour of God. And as Jesus of Nazareth ascended into heaven, bearing the marks of his sacrifice in his body, the angels turn to him and they worship him. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And so ought we to worship him. So ought we to lift our voices in praise of him. For this Saviour who is the Son of God, this Saviour who is the Holy One, this Saviour is God with us, God among us. The Word took flesh, and tabernacled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The man who walked the lanes of Galilee was God, enfleshed. The man who walked the streets of Jerusalem was God, contracted to a span. The man who reached out his hand to heal the leper was God. The man who spoke to a little girl and said, "Arise," he was God. He was a man who was moved with compassion, but he was moved with the compassion of a God who created all things very good, and who has witnessed his creation spoiled and marred by wicked men, brought into a state of decay, destined for destruction, this world that he had made with so much care, so much attention to detail, by the power of his own word, spoiled by us, and yet he's moved with compassion for us. And he looks upon us, and he sees us in our wretchedness, and in our weakness, and in our sinfulness. And he weeps because we're as sheep without a shepherd. We have each one of us gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And he came into the world that God might pour upon him the iniquity of us all. He was moved with compassion for the hungry and the tired. He wanted to provide for them. He did provide for them. But so moved was he for the lostness and the deadness and the wickedness of this world, that this man who is God, the Creator, set his face toward Jerusalem. And nothing would dissuade him from making that journey, even though he knew that when he got there, he would be betrayed, and he would be handed over to the Gentiles, and they would crucify him, having abused him and tortured him, and he would die, and he would die under the wrath of God, that he might save sinners. And this God, he would not be dissuaded. He would not be distracted. He doggedly went forward with this plan to save creatures who were at war with him, who had turned against him, who had spoiled everything that he had made so good. And he was so determined to save that he laid down his life as a ransom for many. The Creator became part of his creation to redeem his creation. The Holy One took on the unholiness of his creation, that he might reconcile rebellious creatures to himself. The God of splendor and glory, worshipped by angels who hide their face from his holiness, walked among us in our deceitfulness, in our despicableness, in our deadness, that we might have life. The Holy God came himself. What miracle is this of grace? He promised a seed of a woman. He promised a descendant of Abraham. He promised a king like David. And he came, the seed of the woman, the descendant of Abraham, the king like David. For there was no one else found in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or under the earth, who could accomplish this salvation. Nor one of the heavenly creatures could come in the place of man. Nor one of the holy angels could stand in the place of sinners. No man or woman upon this earth was good enough to take away our sin. So God came. He would not have us lost. He would not have us destroyed. He would not have us come under his justice. But he came himself, and he bore that justice in his own body upon the cross, so that we might be freed, so that we might be made new. What glory is this in such a Saviour? What compassion towards us, such sinners as we are. Will you not bow down to this Saviour? Will you not come before this glorious Creator who bears now a body scarred by sacrifice? Will you not come before him and humble yourself before him and plead with him that he would have mercy upon you today and tomorrow and every day until that day of judgment, and then that he would wrap you in his righteousness, that he would acquit you of your sinfulness, that he would accept you in robes of righteousness, that he would glorify you forever and ever? Will you not come to him today, this glorious Saviour who has come from heaven to lift us up to heaven? For if you do not come to him today, when will you come? Or will it be too late to come? For there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the praises of God will resound in the depths of hell, not just in the heights of heaven. So I ask you, where will you sing the praises of God for eternity? Under his justice, or enjoying his mercy? Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father, we ask that you would have mercy this day. Have mercy upon each soul gathered in this room, each one who may be listening in the live stream or may listen to the recording later. Lord God, have mercy, we pray, and save. There is not one here who deserves your mercy, not one here who deserves to be saved, but we glory in Christ our Saviour, we whose eyes have been opened to see his dignity, and who have bowed before him in worship and praise. And we pray that this blessedness that we enjoy may be shared by everyone who hears this message. Have mercy, we pray, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of us all. We ask in his precious name. Amen.